Okay, this hour we're going to take your phone calls, especially trucker stories as well, spooky things you've seen on the road, and we'll keep chatting with Rod Belcher as well about his work, The Brotherhood of the Wheel, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We're with our very special guest, Rod Belcher, today, The Brotherhood of the Wheel. We're going to take your calls as well. By the looks of things, most of the lines are already filled. Let's talk about the Occult Crime Task Force, and we'll go to calls, Rod. What is that?
When I was finishing up my undergraduate work at Virginia Commonwealth University, I was already at that point interested in a law enforcement career, and I was very interested in forensic science. So for my internship, I had the opportunity to work for the Virginia Crime Commission, which is a office within the Virginia General Assembly that helps lawmakers develop policy for law enforcement, anything related to law enforcement type issues. And as you probably are very much aware, the late 80s, there was this kind of spate of cases involving perhaps satanic cults, people claiming to be abducted by these cults or having been raised by the cults.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Well, it what we found out was this is in Virginia. The Crime Commission, the legislature was interested in whether this was true or not. So they tasked the Crime Commission to come up with some hard data for them. And the Occult Crime Task Force was implemented to contact all of the law enforcement offices, any police force, sheriff's department, if it was like a little Mayberry department or it was a major metropolitan police force, contact all the law enforcement organizations in Virginia and get data on any kind of crimes that they considered occult or supernatural. And the task force also worked with Ken Lanning, who was one of the behavioral science profile people from Quantico with the FBI. And it was fascinating work, especially for a bright-eyed college student, because we got to basically get these surveys back from all of these law enforcement departments. And one of the things that was very interesting is there was a huge amount of crime that was falling under the umbrella of occult crime that had to do with animal mutilations, especially around, you know, Halloween and things like that. There'd just be this huge spate of animals being murdered, you know, being sacrificed in some kind of occult rituals. The one that kind of stuck with me was there was one sheriff's department that reported one of the occult crimes or one of the crimes they were listing as occult was someone had snuck into a family's yard and tied dozens of these little doll heads to the branches of the tree. They hadn't set off any of the motion lights. They hadn't caused the dog to bark. None of the family was aware of this until the following morning. And they woke up and there's this, the tree in their front yard is full of little hanging doll heads.
So, oh boy.
That was kind of a puzzling crime. The department considered it to be perhaps something vaguely occult. So the final, basically what ended up happening is the Occult Crime Task Force reported this information and the survey data to the General Assembly. I don't know if any real legislation ever came from it, but it did seem that at that time, nationally, there was a lot of occult-related activity that, you know, this is around the same time as Son of Sam. I think at that point the trial and everything was over for David Berkowitz, and they basically he was at that point reporting that he had been part of an occult conspiracy, and he's basically an assassin for this occult conspiracy.
An assassin.
So
jeez.
It's fascinating stuff, and it's really interesting. That I was very fortunate coming right out of college to get the opportunity to work with some really great people at the General Assembly. And I feel very fortunate to have gotten that experience. And it gave me some great ideas for some stories, I'll tell you that.
Okay, let's take some calls here for you. We've got a lot of truck drivers as well calling you, Rod.
Awesome.
So let's go to Mike, truck driving in Ohio, to get us started here. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Rod.
Hi there.
I've got an interesting ghost truck driving story.
Love it. Go ahead.
It's in Ohio, south on Route 511, 50 miles an hour, late night, foggy. Is that wispy fog really crazy? So I thought I saw a face in the fog with like two hands up, like a traffic cop stop. So I slam on the brakes. Here I come to the other side of the road on the edge of a 15-mile-an-hour curve.
Oh,
I didn't see the sign for it. I'm like, oh, my God. I back up. I make the right-hand 15-mile-an-hour curve. I'm going 5 miles an hour in the fog. 200 yards later, there's another left-hand 15-mile-an-hour curve. I come up to that and make that, and then I see the name of the town on the sign after that. I'm like, okay, I understood. So 2 years later, my friend and I are going camping down there. He's riding his motorcycle. I got the car. I'm following him. I says, after we get off the interstate, there's these two 15-mile-an-hour curves. You got to go real slow. And it was late at night, dark. I'm driving behind him. He's going. He didn't see the sign. He's coming up to the curve, and I said, oh, my God, he's going to, and he's gone. And I pull up seconds later on the edge of the road, and I thought he was dead, wrecked his motorcycle, whatever. He's sitting there Indian-style cross-legged about 10 feet from the edge of the road. I said, what's going on? He's coming out of a daze. And I said, what's going on? He goes, did you see the woman? I said, no, what are you talking about? He goes, there was a woman on the road. I said, no way. So I back the car up in the headlights. I see his motorcycle about 20 feet away standing straight up with the kickstand down. Well, he wasn't on it, of course. I said, how'd your motorcycle get there? He goes, I don't know. I blacked out. I said, oh, my God. He goes, what's going on? I says, you'll understand after we go down the road a little bit. So we get him on his bike, gets on the road, come up to the next curve, left-hand turn, 15 miles an hour. He looks back at me in amazement as he points to the town, the sign of the name of the town, looks back at me, and he was amazed as the sign said, Whittleville.
Yeah. Wow.
Because that's the name of the town.
Synchronicity. Yeah.
When we got to the campsite, I said, you know who saved your life tonight, right? He goes, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
There you go.
I love that story. Thanks, Mike, and you drive carefully out there. Lots of stories where truck drivers, Rod, are saved with this kind of intervention.
Yes. I was going to say that story has a lot of patterns to a lot of the stories I've heard and collected from folks that I've talked to.
Have you had any personal weird stories happen to you?
Oh, a couple. A couple. I won't say I'm a skeptic. I really am not. I just like to try to have some, you know, I was kind of taught how to, you know, acquire evidence and collect evidence. And I have a few events that happened in my life that I'm a little uncertain how to fully explain. None of them have to do with highways or anything, you know, but actually I did one night off a road, I did spot a UFO, and that was kind of amazing, a little eerie. And I did have an event happen that involved kind of an active dreaming sort of an experience that seemed to end up with a physical manifestation of something. I've never been able to explain that to this day. I don't know how to explain it, but basically, I had, it's a kind of a long story. I don't want to, you know, take you away from the calls and stuff, but basically I had something happen that, occurred while I was asleep and involved some dreaming. And when I woke up from the dream, there was a physical manifestation that was not there when I had went to sleep. And I have no way to explain that. Never have. But it was kind of a bizarre phenomenon. I actually had a friend who, had something similar happen to him, and it was just a kind of a bizarre experience. It involved sleeping and trying to kind of like sort of direct dreaming, sort of, you know, kind of like lucid dreaming, I guess you'd call it. And when it happened, it seemed like we kind of bumped into something kind of nasty.
Mm-hmm.
That when I woke up, and actually he was in another location and had a similar experience, woke up feeling almost like we had the flu, very tired, worn out, awful headache. And I had this little pendant that I was wearing that was given to me that it had an Indian
symbol for warding off of evil forces or evil spirits, basically an open palm with an eye in the center of the palm. That necklace was fine. When I woke up in the morning, it was gouged. It actually had like a big dent in it, like something had poked a, almost poked a hole in it. And to this day, I do not know how to explain that. It's just, that was a bizarre thing. And I think that was actually one of the things that really kind of got me interested in kind of the weird and the occult and stuff. I've loved that stuff.
Yeah, you were born into this, weren't you?
I think so. I really think so.
Back to the calls. Let's go to Jeff, truck driving in New York. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I have a story. This took place about 4 years ago. At the time, I had a dedicated run from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, down to Richmond, and I was running down Route 15 through the infamous Gettysburg area, but I was actually south into Maryland there. Now, it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night in the summer, and for the listeners that aren't familiar with that area, it's two lanes, 55 south, two lanes north, grass medium. Now, unlike some highways, that area does not have on and off ramps. It actually has intersections, which are pretty dangerous. Now, when I was driving down through the section that I was in, it's fairly dark, except for maybe one little convenience store that's right ahead of me there. Now, I'm driving down through there, and I'm slowly approaching another semi that was in the right lane in front of me. And in the left lane back behind me was a car that was gaining on me slowly but surely. And I started to think to myself, okay, I'm gaining on the truck faster than the car's approaching, so I'm going to go ahead and pass this truck. Now, what I'm doing is approaching this convenience store, so it's right off to my right-hand side, lighting up the dark. The truck's directly in front of me, and I put my turn signal on to start to change lanes. Now, just as I'm changing lanes, I have the center line dead center in the hood of my truck. I am probably about a length, one truck length behind that truck I'm passing, and all of a sudden, I see this young teenage boy shoot right between us. Now, I'm traveling, you know, nearly 88 feet per second, more than a truck length. So, for me, from the distance of that truck to the front of my truck is a second. And that kid, I know, I was wide awake, I just started my run, and I watched that kid, you know, he had a red shirt, yellow bike, and he passed right between me and rode right off. My eyes followed him across the parking lot of that store. And to this day, I still, it's almost humanly impossible for a real human to do that. And I often thought, did I see something that, you know, maybe that child was killed years ago and that was an apparition that passed between us.
That's a great story. And you know, Jeff, deep down inside, this is not normal.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been out here for nearly 30 years, and, you know, I can't say I've seen a lot of things like Bigfoot or anything strange, but that is one thing that has totally changed my life. I mean, it really impacted me. Not only did it scare me so much at the time that when it happened, that even afterwards, it just, I couldn't grasp it. I'm thinking that's almost impossible. How can a kid, this kid was sitting down, coasting, on his bicycle, as fast as that thing go, he wasn't standing up paddling. It was just like he was totally relaxed. You see the kid with one hand on the handlebar, one arm straight down to the side with his T-shirt behind him, just go right between us. And to this day, I would love to know if, you know, something ever happened at that intersection.
What's interesting is that story dovetails very much so with one of the stories, one of the trucking stories that I've heard. Which was basically a figure running across the highway right in front of you and then literally just kind of seeming to vanish on the other side of the road. And again, you know, it's how do you explain that? And, you know, when you're driving those trucks, they don't stop on a dime. You really have to kind of be aware of what's going on. So something like that would be really frightening.
Have you heard of the trucker ghost story of a woman in white who is always on the side of the road, Rod?
There is several different, yes.
There are several versions of that.
Yeah, and actually I worked that into my novel as well, because it's, again, like sort of like the Black Dog, it's one of those stories that seems to have a common thread. There's variations on it. One version of it is called Resurrection Mary, but there's other versions, and it's something that seems to,
It doesn't matter about the geography. A lot of people have had this thing happen to them where they pick up a hitchhiker. Sometimes the hitchhiker asks to go home. When the driver gets them to the address that they are told, the hitchhiker literally disappears in the blink of an eye. Sometimes,
or take me to the cemetery, right?
They will mention, they'll talk about the apocalypse, so they'll mention something about the incoming soon, and then disappear. It really is. And again, you know, you think of, rationally, you could say, well, it's some kind of an urban myth, and it just kind of has been, passed along. But it's over this huge geographic area, and it just seems unlikely that all of these people are kind of, parroting the same myth. So there's got to be, when there's smoke, there's usually some fire. And that's the woman in white, the phantom hitchhiker, Resurrection Mary. Those are all different names I've heard for the same basic kind of story.
I love those stories, all of them.
I do too. I love this stuff. It really is fascinating.
We've got Mike in Nebraska truck driving. Go ahead, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I just got a quick story for you. You hit on something earlier, just scared the crap out of me. It happened about 3 years ago. I was coming out of Nogales, loaded for Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I was cutting up Highway 70 in New Mexico. And where you come out of Hondo, in between Hondo and Roswell, there's these pull-offs, picnic areas. Well, I pulled off there just to stretch my legs because I'd been driving a while, and it was a full moon out, and, stars were wonderful. And I pulled off, but when you pull in, you actually flash the whole area. And I pulled off. There's nobody else in there. And I got out of the truck, and I'm just looking at the stars. And I look over, and there's this dude standing there pretty close to the end of my truck. But he was dark. I mean, it was really light out, and he was really dark.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make out a face. I could just tell it was a dude. And, man, I got goosebumps right now. I got back in my truck. I locked my doors, and when I put it in gear. And when I got out of there, I was looking at my mirrors. I couldn't see him anywhere. I actually wondered if he was on the back of the truck.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah.
Get him off.
I haven't been back on that road since.
You know what freaks me? That's a great story, Mike. What freaks me out, Rod, is always, too, you're in your car looking in the rear view mirror. It's nighttime, and you actually think you're going to see a face with eyes looking at you in that mirror.
Yep. That's.
I don't like that.
No. we all have that kind of that feeling sometimes of someone or a presence being behind you, and what's really disconcerting is when you have that feeling and you turn around and there's no one there.
No one there at all. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you too, Rod. So stand by, and then we've got open lines next hour. Well, next hour we'll begin our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. So get ready for that. But when we come back in a moment with Rod Belcher, author of The Brotherhood of the Wheel. We'll take more of your truck driver ghost stories and other ghost stories, too, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Rod Belcher with us in his book, The Brotherhood of the Wheel, and it is available on Amazon.com. Where else, Rod?
Basically, most major bookstores. Pretty much, you can get it just about anywhere. I'm very fortunate to have a publisher, Tor Books, that has a pretty extensive reach as far as getting books out. So Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, pretty much any of those places, and probably a whole bunch more.
Who's your editor at Tor? Because that's my publisher.
Really? Greg Cox.
Mine is Bob Gleason.
I've heard the name.
No, he's a legend out there.
Yes. Yeah, and I was very fortunate. I feel kind of like I won the lottery because, Tor has been my publisher since my first book. And
that's great.
They've been just amazing.
Do you know Tom Doherty?
Yes, I actually got to have lunch with Tom Doherty at the World Fantasy.
He's quite convention. The guy, isn't he?
He really, and boy, so many stories. He's just and a very down-to-earth fella. Very
yeah,
nice guy.
Oh, he really is. It never went to his head. Very successful, and he's doing a great job. Okay, let's go back to final calls. Let's go to Central Valley, California. David's with us now. Hey, David, thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Hello.
Very pleasure to talk to you. I find your show very interesting.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anyways, I've got this story here. I'm coming out of Laredo, Texas, delivering flour. I'm doing my tens as I come along west. Well, I hit this town called Eloy, going west on the 8 to San Diego, my destination. And I'm going to tell you, George, I've been around these freeways for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Freeways, highways, byways, you name it. That is the loneliest stretch of freeway, highway I've ever been on in my life. One night, I had already did my 10 hours, my sleeper berth. I'm coming out of Eloy, going west on the 8. And I'm going to say there's probably about an hour, 2 hours to get to Yuma, Arizona. And I'm doing about 70, speed limit's about 70, 75 for all vehicles. Well, and there's nobody there. It's about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody. It's black. No lights, nothing. Right there by the Gila Bend. Well, and I'm doing my thing and got my radio, and I see this hitchhiker just walking along like nothing, didn't even turn around, puts his thumb out. And I just passed him because Mom always said, don't pitch up hits.
Mom was right.
So I passed him. And, well, I passed Yuma about an hour, 2 hours. Nobody passes me at all. I see the guy again.
Wow.
I'm telling you, George, I'm ball-headed by design, not by choice. Right? I could feel my hair literally grow out of my head. I put two hands on the wheel, and I'm just looking in the sky. I'm looking everywhere. I'm waiting for a flying saucer to come down and take me away.
Wow. It's like a Twilight Zone movie. I love it. Thanks.
Wow.
That sounds like a Twilight Zone episode, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
The Hitchhiker. That, as a matter of fact, that's the name of one of the episodes.
Yes.
And he keeps appearing in front. And I think right at the end, he looks inside the car at this, I think it was a woman who was driving, panicking. And he goes, going my way.
I remember that one.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Let's go next to Austin, Texas. It's Mike's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Awesome. Okay, sir, I actually have two of them. I'm going to be as fast as I can.
Okay.
I have a weird experience, and it kind of relates to your black dog. I'm new to this business, but I'm a veteran in the oil field. And if you know the oil field and trucking, it's almost hand in hand. I mean, long hours and as long as you can go and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm traveling down this highway. It's a toll road that was newly built in between Austin and San Antonio. And it's 3 a.m. I push myself to the limit. I can go 36 hours without sleep, you know, working and sleeping and all that. And I blame partially fatigue, but when you spoke about the black dog, everybody's seen that movie, and I never really took it seriously until you started talking about it. And I'm a brand new listener, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Extreme fan. And I saw something that wasn't a black dog or wasn't a figure of an animal. It was, picture this, a tablecloth laying flat, sprawled out on the ground, okay? And imagine you picking that tablecloth from the very center, and it's going to make like a pyramid-type shape, you know, like what a cloth would do when it folds off into itself. Okay, I'm driving 70, 80 miles an hour. I had just maybe had two little light, eye heaviness and maybe swerve a little bit, and I could really feel it. I'm like maybe 36 hours in of solid being awake. You know, I mean, this is the whole time being awake, working, and trying to travel, trying to get this done. And I'm coming up to this curve. And by the way, my father passed away maybe 2 years prior to that experience. And I've never really had closure, and it's going to relate to that. I see that figure. I see like a black mat figure, like a tablecloth, sprawled out, but basically being picked up and shooting into the air, maybe, maybe not too fast, but let's say 10 feet per second. And I'm driving 80 miles an hour, and I see that. And instantly, instead of having like a fear feeling, I feel like a weird calmness like I'm not a skeptic, because I love this kind of stuff. I mean, it really fascinates me. I am a believer, but I've never seen it up until these two instances, which is and like I said, it really kind of woke me up, but it gave me like a sense of feeling like of a warmness type of I don't know. I mean, it's hard to explain. And I was alert after that. Okay, and then all of a sudden, maybe the next day, I think I might have had like a foggy dream of my dad. And that kind of, you know, I never told my wife, I never told anybody, because, you know, the first thing everybody's going to say, oh, it's fatigue. Oh, it's you're hallucinating.
Right.
You need a rest.
Right.
You need to slow down. And, of course, in my business, you can't hear that, because you start listening to that, and then things start happening. Accidents start happening.
You start doubting yourself.
Exactly. So I pushed it to the side, put it in the back burner, and when I finally plugged into your show and I caught on to this, well, I've been trying to reach you for like 3 weeks, and you're a very, very, a very, very important man, because you're always busy. And this is the first time I was able to plug in. My second time, I'm traveling down this highway, and it's 935 headed from Laredo coming up. And, you know, if you know these areas, of course, this is the border town. You have a lot of illegals, a lot of aliens that travel these highways walking, trying to find rides just,
sure,
you know, to help themselves. Well, of course, you never pick nobody up. Well, I ended up having to go to a location, to a site where a drilling rig was, but it was in a very, very remote location. And I'm sitting here traveling, like, once again, 55, 60 miles an hour down this back road, and it's a back highway. It's 44 highway, actually, is what it is. And it's, once again, 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm just sitting there getting in. Of course, I got my, this time I might be 19 hours into my day of, you know, being solid awake going. I see, and it's not a fog, but it's like a light, very light, misty kind of fog. It was a humid night. And I see like a figure of a female. And it wasn't a figure at first, because it actually looked like a literal female. And I'm coming up to her, and I'm like, you know, I mean, whether she's illegal, whether whatever, you know, I mean, you're gonna wonder, oh, my God, a female out in the dark. And, of course, you hear these ambush stories that the cartels will put a female out on the side of the road and get you to stop, and then all of a sudden you get ambushed and all this crap, and you get stolen, you get robbed and all this. Well, I wasn't thinking about that at the time, so I start slowing down because I had that much time. I'm only going 55, 60, and I see her, and I start slowing down a little bit, and whenever I get close to her, I don't stop in time because I was fully loaded. And I kind of pass her a little bit. So as soon as my headlights pass her, and now you got my side marker lights, you know, that reflection. It's not a very bright light, but, you know, they're bright enough to see. Once my mirrors pass her to where I can see that, you know, so I can catch her, she kind of walks back away from the light. So that kind of had me going a little bit. So I stopped right there maybe 2 seconds. I roll my passenger side window down, and I look out, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm Hispanic, so I can speak fluent Spanish." So I throw it out the window, "Hey, are you okay? Do you need some kind of help? Are you a jacker? You know, basically, you know, just trying to put it out there. You know, if you got a scheme, I'm trying to help you, and I know about your schemes. What's up?" Nothing. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't see anything after that, but a strong sense of fear pierces my chest. I don't see a figure. I didn't see anything. I didn't see no girl. All I saw was that female. But a real sharp, like, let's say like a bow and arrow, hits me in my chest of fear. And that has never, ever had. I'm talking about, and just think about a bow and arrow going through your body. Basically the same thing. The fear shoots through my chest, out my back, raising my hair in the spot where it went through. I mean, literally. Like, it felt like, oh, not the back of my neck, but like almost the center of my back. The hair literally raising up in that spot and basically almost making me sit back down in the passenger side seat. I jumped in my driver's side seat and I took off. I didn't even give it a chance.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I would never look back, Rod.
No. No way. Yeah, and it's actually interesting because both those experiences, there are a lot of stories that involve comfort or warnings. Sort of benevolent supernatural experiences that truckers have had.
Messages, basically.
Yeah, basically someone trying to warn them of something that's going to harm them or could you know, change their lives in a really negative way. And then there's also just these bizarre, almost, you know, sometimes demonic stories of these strange entities. You know, they some of them look human, others not so much, that people just seem to run into out in the middle of nowhere.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It really is fascinating because, I mean, like I said, you know, a lot of this country is still wilderness, and that's the part that these guys are traveling on. And you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, who's to say what they've run into. But I mean, it's interesting because you hear the same kind of stories from people who probably, you know, never crossed the same part of highway, and it's interesting. It really is. There's obviously some common thread there of what they're encountering.
Let's go to Jaeger, truck driving in Oklahoma. Jaeger, it's your turn. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, Jaeger.
I got a little story about the black dog.
Uh-oh.
I saw him just a few minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Pull over.
Third time I've seen him. I'm actually made it to the depot. I'm sitting here waiting to get these dang bananas off my truck. But I was coming across between Stillwell and Westville, Oklahoma. And I saw something look like a man standing on the side of the road over there. And all at once, it turned into a black dog with red eyes and run right out in front of the truck.
You mean it was a man, then it turned into the dog?
Turned into the dog with the red eyes and just run right out in front of me. And the last time I saw it, I wrecked. I slammed on the brakes, and I jackknifed a set of doubles.
Oh, my God.
On U.S. 62 between Tahlequah and Westville this time. I put my foot in this old white, and I felt something go boom under the front end, and I kept going.
So you did feel like you hit something.
It felt like I hit. It was like hitting a stump. I mean, it was a massive just kaboom.
Are these things solid, Rod?
Well, it's interesting because one of the stories I did read was a trucker saw the black dog and thought he hit it, and he stopped to check and see what was going on. There was no damage to the truck. There was no indication that he thought he'd hit like an animal, like a dog or a wolf or something. And there was no signs of that. But he did feel like a physical impact. So, you know, it's possible. You know, again, you know, the stories have a common thread to them. And it's really fascinating to hear these folks, you know, because like the gentleman a couple calls back was saying, you know, most folks don't talk. You know, truckers are kind of, you know, macho, and they hang out with other truckers. You know, you stop at these places along the road, and they'll swap stories and stuff. But a lot of times, they, you know, they're a little wary to tell these stories to their family or someone else because people might think they're crazy for what they've run into. And you know, a lot of these stories always start out with there's actually an old trucker saying, which is a fairy tale begins with once upon a time. And a trucker story begins with, you ain't going to believe this.
I like that. And by the way, all you truckers, tell your buddies on the road to, you know, through your two-way to find the radio station that is carrying coast to coast, wherever they may be, and listen to this program. Couple minutes left, so let's grab one. And by the way, those of you on hold, I'll have Tricia talk to you. You might be open line calls next hour, okay? Let's go to Richard, Long Island, New York. Let's squeeze you in, Rich. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, George. Nice to meet you, finally. I listen to you. I've been trucking for 30 years. Right? We hear all kinds of stories out there on the CB. I happen to have been on my break working here. Well, we hear stories all the time out on the CB about strange things happening out there. I was coming across Highway 40 through the New Mexico desert there, and I see this fella in the middle of the desert nowhere. There ain't nothing for 50 miles away, and he's walking along the side of the road. With it. It's like 95 degrees out at nighttime, and he's got this black cape on walking toward me on the shoulder.
And I
said, I'm looking, getting closer to it. I didn't know what the hell was it. Maybe this person needs a help or something, so I slow down. And the thing looks at me, and it looks like a vampire or something. He's walking along, and the thing's waving in there. This tape's waving and everything. And he's in the middle of nowhere. Where's this guy come from? It's hot as a dog out there, and he's wearing this heavy black cape.
Jeez.
All dressed in black and a black hat, and he looked weird as heck.
I hope you kept going.
I kept going. I'll tell you
what. Smart move, Rich. Smart move. Keep going. You know what? That's what I would do, Rod. I don't think I'd stop. Would you?
You know, whether he's a vampire or not, there's some guy walking along in a cape in the middle of nowhere. I'm probably going to just keep on going.
Yeah. See ya. Off we go. And what if you were walking and he was coming your way? What would you do?
There's actually an interesting story. Fella.
30 seconds.
Driving.
Go ahead.
30 seconds. Fella was driving along. He saw this figure in the middle of the road. He comes to a stop to avoid hitting him. The figure had, according to him, bright red eyes and was screeching and actually chased him.
Ugh.
And he jumped back in the truck and took off, and the thing was still chasing him. So, yeah, just keep on going.
Hey, good luck with the book, The Brotherhood of the Wheel, Rod. Good
Thank
to talk
so much
with
for your time. It's really been a real pleasure to be on. Thank you.
I really enjoyed this. And, of course, we're going to continue with the theme. We've got open lines coming up, but I want to hear your horror hitchhiker stories, whether you pick somebody up or you are the hitchhiker. Share that story with us, if you would. Plus, open lines next on Coast to Coast AM.